The truth is always out there, sometimes way out there, with the Midweek Drive team on Siren 107.3 FM.
And the weather today, Thursday the 13th of July, highs of 20 degrees centigrade, lows of 14 degrees centigrade, with the possibility of showers later. Wonderful. Well, the show continues into the second part, and we've been joined by Tessa Snart. How are you, Tessa?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you.
And we've also got Katie Wayner. How are you, Katie?
I'm good, thanks.
Katie's been doing a work placement with Siren for the last few days and has been taking part in shows like Sound and Country Vision and other exciting things. But the key question is, Katie, do you have a classroom pet?
No, we don't.
No.
No classroom pet.
Tessa, did you ever have a classroom pet?
No. I think maybe once, like in reception, we could take a small pet in for the day. I don't know whether that was a thing at one point. But
ideas of classroom pets are indeed changing because chickens, tadpoles, caterpillars and stick insects are all becoming increasingly popular.
Actually, my sister did have to look after African land snails. Everybody in her class, the school had them and everybody got to take them home for a week. So, yes, we actually took them home, didn't take them into class.
Well, 91% of parents say that they want their child to learn about responsibility, and 88% of those surveyed by Pets at Home suggests that a pet helps a child's development. Now, Mark Smith, pet and reptile expert, was with us recently, and the first thing we actually asked him was, is this true? Was it, you know, was it health and safety that effectively was responsible for fewer classroom pets?
And I think now schools have to be a bit more careful, especially with furry animals. Children may have allergies. Also, what happens to those animals at weekends? Can you ask the parents to look after it? Do you have to get someone to come into the school to look after it? Things like that.
In terms of the balance of obviously sort of looking after pets and so on, is it a case of, I dread to use the health and safety issue from that point of view, but you mentioned allergies from that perspective. Is it a case of, you know, it's that additional responsibility of actually saying, oh, it's not just sort of the pet itself. There are so many other distractions. Do we kind of make excuses for not looking after pets?
I think it's one of the things, the factors that goes in there, that the health and safety, although we're not really wanting to delve into it in a great deal, but you've got animals, like we said, can cause allergies, or they can scratch, or they can even bite in some cases. And I think what's happened is schools who do wish to have pets are going for what they perhaps perceive as safer alternatives, like the top one in the survey was fish. Which are, they're not portable, so you don't have to ask parents to look after them at the weekends. They'll be quite happy all on their own for the weekend. And they don't bite, they don't smell, and of course no allergies to speak of with those either.
Indeed. Of course, you've got hamsters and guinea pigs following fish with 18% and 13% of areas. And of course, we've got stick insects, caterpillars, of course, they're also becoming popular. Not sure, I mean, obviously entomologists would clearly say, of course you can actually have a stick insect as a pet, but it's not quite the same as something you can pet, is it really?
It's interesting. I think with the insects, it's more the fascination, and things like the caterpillars are especially good for teaching children life cycles. My own little daughter is at nursery, and she's had caterpillars in for a few weeks. She's been giving me regular updates on what she's been feeding them, which ones have turned into chrysalis, and this week they all started hatching into butterflies.
Now, looking again at the summer vacation and so on, you've talked about, obviously, pets being home to look after that for you because they don't go on a hiatus just because term has actually ended. And presumably the My Pet Pal summer workshops will actually be a great way of actually learning how to look after a pet, whether it's at school or indeed at home.
That's right. I mean, we obviously know from the survey that parents are really keen on their children learning how to look after pets because they see the benefits for the child's development and the social skills as well. So if you haven't got the opportunity at school, and unfortunately if you don't have the opportunity even at home, up and down the country every Pets at Home store is running the My Pet Pals workshops all over the summer.
And I mean, looking at the numbers though, 430 Pets at Home stores right across the UK, so there's probably one likely to be near Lincoln or Teesside. Could be relatively straightforward to find, I would have thought.
Oh yes, I mean, in Lincoln we've got Lincoln North, and then we've got the Lincoln Tricken Road branch.
Well, it's just fantastic from that point of view. Now, again, looking towards that, I mean, clearly we have a boy's best friend being a dog and so on and so forth. Are they falling out of favour, do you think, I mean, in terms of dogs and cats? Because, I mean, we were talking a few weeks ago about the popularity of both species. Are people sort of tending to say, actually, you know, they are being replaced possibly by giant lizards?
I think what's happening is people still, from the results of the survey, people still want a dog and a cat, but actually maybe they don't have the space, maybe they don't have the time. And I think that's where they start to consider other non-traditional pets that maybe aren't so demanding of their time or space constraints, where maybe not giant lizards, but smaller lizards like leopard geckos or bearded dragons fit perfectly into that kind of situation.
I'm intrigued by the eel, though, because, I mean, for so many ways, the eel, surely it's electric eel or other, any particular kind of eel that we're looking for there?
That one I'm not sure of. That made me kind of scratch my head when I saw that in the survey results as well. I can kind of see how maybe someone caught one at the weekend fishing and maybe thought, oh, I'll just take it into the class for a little while and see.
So I'm not sure whether it would actually necessarily work, although we mustn't be speciesist in this particular side of things, and who knows, the eel might be as intelligent as the dolphin. We just haven't sussed it out as yet, basically.
No, that's true. I do know that they can get very tame and we'll feed from your hand, but
Oh, well, it's extraordinary. Don't introduce it to an otter, that's all I'd say. Otters and eels separate from that point of view. A web address, Mark, best place to actually go to find out further details about not only the Pet Pals Summer Activity Club, but in general the sort of Pets at Home scenario.
Petsathome.com, and for the workshops, it's petsathome.com/workshops. It is advisable to go on there and book because the workshops tend to be very, very popular.
And any surprises from yourself? I mean, apart from the eels in terms of the survey or the lines which came through, anything which you thought, well, you know, I hadn't expected to see a caterpillar in there.
I'd almost expected the caterpillar and the stick insect. The interesting one for me was that there was one school that actually said they've got a pet donkey, which was rather unusual.
Well, I sort of can understand that on the basis of if it's a rural school, you could understand why it would be a way of keeping it to one side. And mind you, if it's in the height of central London, then possibly I would be a bit surprised. But still.
Yeah, I didn't get the information as to which school it was, so I'm hoping it's a rural one, yes.
Exactly. Mark, it's been terrific as ever, touching base with your good self. I take it you've had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today.
It's been great, thank you.
And in which case, hopefully we'll connect with you again, probably for the pets at home as we head through the autumn, etc. Mark Smith, pet and reptile expert from Pets at Home. Many thanks indeed.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
You're listening to The Midweek Drive on Siren FM, guaranteed to keep you safe from giant lizards.
You see, Tessa, you could have had an eel as a school pet. I don't know what you would have done with it, but an eel.
Well...
Yeah. Okay, well, still to come on the programme, we're going to be featuring somebody who was originally booked for Sound and Country Vision, but there was such a packed programme in
really
Volume
was.
11, which you can access in a week's time, actually, that Emma Moore has come to join us on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
Yep, she
That's
has.
Great. No trouble there whatsoever, no pun intended. But the other question I have to say is, what do you think the music tastes like? Because James Wannerton, a man who tastes sounds and president of the Synesthesia Association, has actually teamed up with Pringles social media to effectively find out what sounds taste like. We actually have run this last night on Midweek Drive. We're running it again because it actually reveals what my voice actually tastes like.
Wow. Well, I've heard of seeing colours and relating music to that, but taste?
But never actually having the taste on the whole thing. Is this something that you were expecting when you signed up for a work placement with us, the taste of music?
No, it did not come to my mind that I would have to answer that question.
How does it taste like? I'm still a little bemused by how it actually works from a physiological perspective. James will be talking about it in a matter of moments, but before then, we'll be speaking to Emma Moore. And after that, well, actually before that, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. Wake up, everybody.
Do it every time. yes, let it be. No, 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 no. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, yeah, just you and me. Change it, yeah, change it, yeah. Just you and me.
Wake up, wake up, as we happen to be somewhere in Harrogate, in a field, a very large field actually, during the third and final day of the Great Yorkshire Show. You hear all sorts of clips from the Great Yorkshire Show that we'll be putting together. That's Ben Lewis, hopefully Sue Royce and myself. But Tessa is with us in the studio, Katie's with us in the studio. And Tessa, as I mentioned, we have a superb artiste that you were particularly impressed with joining us now. No trouble at all. Sorry, I just can't resist this.
That was good.
Exactly. Yes. We welcome Emma Moore onto the show. Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good. Still giggling at the link. That was good.
That was pretty good. Now, you're a country Americana singer from Blackpool, is that right, here in the UK?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, and I was actually lucky enough to see you back in March, I think it was, at the Dawson Rains concert in Nottingham.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, my parents were there as well. We really liked your music, so that's why I had to get you on Siren FM.
Indeed, Emma, she's spoken of little else, as Tessa saying, you know, we need to feature Emma Moore. And it was endorsed because Dawson Rains on a recent edition of Sound and Country Vision was fulsome in his praise for your good self.
Yes, he was.
Likewise, even Els Bailey. I say even Els Bailey. She was also very impressed.
She was as well.
That's so cool. I've only recently discovered Els' music maybe like a month ago, and I just can't stop playing it. So to hear that is kind of like cool.
Oh, brilliant.
It's going a little bit.
Look at all the connections we're creating.
I won't say what Katie said about the whole thing, but we'll find out in a few moments. Let's take Emma Moore and Trouble. Stay with us, Emma. We'll be back with you after this.
Tall, dark and handsome, and a charmer like no other. Confident, but also kind. Perfect balance between Jekyll and Hyde. Baby, you are hard to find. Conversation had never been so easy. Not at all hard on the eye. Feelings you gave me, too hard to describe. But you were never mine to find. Oh boy, you're trouble. I shall let you see the sun. Oh boy, you're trouble. I can't get you off my mind.
A round of applause, please.
Yay! I love that one. I'm sure... Did you perform that in Nottingham? Was you testing
it? I did. Yeah.
Because I do recognise it, and I've been listening to it, and I love it, and I'm sure you did play that. I'm sure
I it was think so. It might have been one of the first shows
that
we played that at.
It's like Sound and Country Vision mixes with Midweek Drive Morning Edition. It's just truly wonderful. And Katie actually did like it thoroughly.
I was only teasing. Okay, so what's the story behind Trouble? Because it's quite a mischievous song.
Yeah, it's a little... I wanted a very fun song. I think Pilot was quite a heavy album in terms of lyrics, so it was quite important to me to come out and be like, I'm not serious all the time, I do have fun and can be cheeky. And it was just about kind of meeting the wrong people, and maybe it happens when you're younger and then you think, okay, I've learnt my lesson now, and then it happens again and you're like, oh dang, probably gotten used to this one by now, so maybe, you know, because they're a telltale sign that you shouldn't meet somebody, and then I think sometimes we choose to ignore them, so it was just a little fun.
So your album Pilot, going back to that, which I think you released, was it 2016? It was actually directed by Justin Johnson, the UK's top country producer. Your newest album, that I presume you're working on, who's working with you on that? Where's that going?
Nothing at the minute. Obviously, I'm still writing.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of writing it a bit slower than I did with Pilot.
Yeah.
So it's all up in the air. It's all open. It might well be Justin. Would obviously love to work with Justin again. I've got another single coming out probably in September that Justin has produced. So the next thing that everyone hears will definitely be by Justin.
So would you say your music's changed since then? And it's maybe, I don't know, going down a different path? Or is it sort of similar?
Yeah, definitely. I'll always be the common link. I wrote most of Pilot on my own, and I tend to write a little bit more on my own than I do with other people at the minute.
Okay.
Would definitely like to co-write more. But when Pilot came out, I'd only been writing music for a year. So I was very much still kind of finding my feet and figuring out what I wanted to say and how to say it. And I was completely terrible at playing guitar. So obviously the better you get on your instrument, the better you can write. I think a lot. I think I'm still changing and growing and learning.
Have you always been a fan of country music? Who were your influences growing up?
Yeah, I would love the Dixie Chicks. They were like my idols as a kid, and Shania Twain was a big one because I was born in '91. So, and they released their albums in '98, their first album. So. I kind of grew up with those and the Spice Girls. I was a Spice Girl kid.
I loved all those too. I was actually able to see the Dixie Chicks at the Country to Country concert. I think it was about 3 years ago now, so that was really good to see them. Katie, do you have any questions for Emma?
Do you have any preferences on who you would like to co-write songs with or anything like that?
Oh, I change my... Every time I listen to someone's new EP or album, I'm like, oh, my God, I so have to write with them. Every time I see someone live in concert. But I think at the minute, there's a few UK artists. Amy Westney, I've just been listening to her EP, like, constantly. I think it's amazing. And she actually co-wrote a track on Pilot. It just wasn't with me.
Oh, wow.
Which is, like, really... So her and Gareth Thomas from Dexeter wrote Why Don't We Lie, which is the last track.
Okay.
So it'd be really cool to like get in a writer's room with Amy and see what we could do together.
Now, your lovely manager, Mel Austin, who we actually had on the show about a month ago, she obviously got to go over to Nashville and to the festivals. Have you been over yet? Have you been able to get a chance?
I haven't. No. And I was so sad when she was over. I mean, I was happy that she was over there and it was amazing. She was sending me pictures and... like updating me on everything and stuff, but I was very sad. I just wanted to be with her over there.
Do you think you'll ever collaborate with Dawson or The Rising?
Oh, that would be so cool. Dawson has spent quite a lot of time over here. He's really invested in his like UK fan base, which is really cool. If he was over, or if we got to go over there,
and
that would be amazing. And The Rising, because they can play, they can really rock out.
Yeah,
they're a lot of fun.
And maybe even Els, Alex. Maybe we could get them to collaborate.
Could be a triple.
Els and Emma.
Yeah.
That works.
Exactly.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's where we'll start. It's been fabulous sharing some wonderful time with your good self, Emma, on this morning in July.
It has.
Has it been okay for you?
Oh, it's been absolutely lovely.
Good. Brilliant. So can we look forward to welcoming you again to both Sound and Country Vision, back making your debut on Sound and Country Vision, and indeed another edition of the Midweek Drive. Will you be back with us shortly?
Of course I will.
See, we need another Blackpool correspondent, I feel, just to kind of keep
us... I think we do. We need to get Emma on here.
Blackpool and the world.
And Els is Bristol, look.
Yeah, Bristol, Blackpool. So it all works.
It's a brilliant theme. Maybe we'll write a song about alliteration.
I love it.
And I'm sure that we get the reunion of the Spice Girls to actually do a cover version as well.
Wouldn't that be great?
Oh no, stop!
So excited hearing this intro. Early in the production, Ian Lennox, of course, uttered those words. What exactly does it entail if you can taste sounds? And as we said, the man to go to when it comes to tasting sounds, I'll say that again, tasting sounds, is the president of the Synesthesia Association, the wonderful James Wannerton. James, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Excellent. So just talk to us about this whole synesthesia aspect, because if you come around and say, well, whenever I actually hear some Bruce Springsteen, it sounds like a pizza, or it tastes like it kind of confuses our sense scenario. So this whole notion of tasting sounds, how does it connect with your good self?
Right. Well, what I've actually got a condition, or a neurological condition, called synesthesia. And what that means is that two of my senses are joined together. There's actually a hard neurological link joining the two together. We've all got five main senses, and they operate independently of one another. And in my particular case, whenever I hear a sound, there's an automatic prod to the taste portion of my brain. So every sound I hear, I actually get a taste. It's a physical mouthfeel, you know, it is a mouthfeel.
Mm. So clearly, as part of this whole notion, Pringles has actually got together with your good self to actually look at the flavours of chart-topping summer hits. I was interested that hip-hop as a genre tends to have a cheese flavour, whereas grime is more meaty steak. Where would country music fit in terms of that?
Well, what it is, with these things, it's a bit, it's based on tempo, and it's also based on the actual sound, the pitch of the music as well, because you tend to find that fast-tempoed music or high-pitched music is sweeter than music that's low-pitched, which tends to be on the bitter side. Yeah. So it's all sort of based on that, really, and that's something that we all experience, I think. So what I did was I got into this collaboration with Pringles because it gave us the chance to go out on the streets to experiment and to find out if people did actually taste it, and they do.
So related to something like Little Mix's Shout Out to My Ex, what was that kind of significant of? I mean, did that carry with a sort of a taste of, I don't know, roast chicken?
Yeah, it was a jumpy taste, and it was a very jumpy kind of sound, that. And what it did for me was it gave me a taste of the sort of extreme taste. Salt and vinegar was the one that came up with that one. Mm. It's a bit like listening to high tempo music, and if you eat something or drink something that's low and soft, it doesn't go together with it. So that's what we try to do, we just match the two up.
And has there been a sign that over the years the tastes have been getting more acidic? Have they been getting more fruitful? Is it difficult to actually tell? I mean, can we look back over the golden age of the Beatles and say, now that was a perfect four-course meal, that was?
Well, I'll tell you what it was for me. The turning point for me was when we used to wear headphones, and when CDs came out as well, because CDs tended to alter the sound of music. Mm. And a CD would give you a lot more contrasts, a lot clearer and cleaner sound. And that made it more tasty for me, because it's the actual contradictions that cause these synesthetic effects, you know, the up and downs.
And we've mentioned that Pringles will be creating a series of limited edition music flavoured cans based on the taste of each genre. Do you have a particular favourite, James, that you actually sort of say, well, I'd always go for that particular one?
Well, I quite like the rock one, because that to me gave me a pizza kind of taste. And to be honest with you, that was the tastiest one for me, the tastiest Pringle.
And clearly for any of our Italian-loving listeners and so on, the notion of pizza, the whole wealth of pizza, there, are we talking about tuna pizza? Are we talking about veggie pizza? Are we talking about a full meat feast here? What kind of level of pizza are we talking about?
Yeah, again, this was nice and cheesy. It was a nice, savoury, umami taste. It was quite nice.
So a connection between cheesy music, cheesy sounds and cheesy pizza, perhaps?
It would seem that way, yeah.
How widespread is synesthesia? Because, I mean, clearly this whole notion of tasting sounds, do you ever find it a handicap, or is it something which is a condition that you sort of think, well, it just is? It's something you've always been aware of, really.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's quite prevalent, really. I mean, it's 1 in 24 people, certainly in the UK, have got this in some form, because there's lots of different types. And the thing I've got to say is it's something that's very natural. I've had this for as long as I can remember, and it's a bit like me asking you, you know, when was the first time you smelt something, and what did you do? Did you go around telling everybody? We don't.
Sure.
And it's perfectly natural and normal. It's slightly distracting, asking about, you know, whether there's any disadvantages, but that aside, it's just an added perception, so it's nice.
So it's a heightening of senses in many ways to actually work through that process.
Yeah.
What about classical music? I mean, we've talked about sort of popular music and pop hits and so on. Is there any kind of taste that comes across with Beethoven or Mozart?
Each of the composers have their own separate taste, but classical music, because of the sounds it makes, and a lot of the, you know, you get a lot of wind instruments and you get a lot of stringed instruments there. Mm. It gives a lot of sweet taste and a lot of bitter taste. So what you've got there is a vast chasm, really. But they tend to be extremes.
And Justin Bieber you can't get much more extreme, surely, than
yeah, he's always had a funny tasting voice to me, because it's
bubblegum,
it's like No, I'll tell you what it's like sugar sandwiches, if you can take that. You know, if you have sugar sandwiches.
That's yes, I'm not sure whether I like that at all in many ways. I mean, I appreciate the days of Donny Osmond and Bubblegum Pop, etc., Justin Bieber, along the base of sugar sandwiches. I mean, Nick Elliott, our sand and Nick's vision, our rock music man, I would say, well, there we are. So no further to go. Where can people go to find out further information, James, about either the specialised Pringles cans or indeed synesthesia in general?
Well, I mean, the synesthesia side, we've got a website. It's www.uksynesthesia.co.uk. Just have a look at that, and then we've got information on that. And the Pringles cans, I think we're going to be releasing some limited edition cans. And just visit the website there.
And, I mean, I'm going to ask this because it's in our little notes section here. What sort of flavour a voice do I actually have? What's coming across to yourself from this particular piece? Because we've had a chat now for all of 6.5 minutes. So what kind of message is coming across? Is it a case of, I don't know, I'm going to have to reach for the sick bag straight away?
Yeah, because bear in mind, it's not as bad as that. If it's really bad, I'll tell you this little clue for you. If it's really bad, I won't say what it is. I'll say it tastes of apricot. Now, you don't taste the apricot. What you taste of is you've got a very good, quite a bitter tasting voice, and it's a bit like wax. It's a bit like wax, but it's a bitter wax.
A bitter wax.
Yeah, it's quite distinctive, actually.
Oh, well, I shan't go any further. I mean, I'm not sure I'll add that to the resume or CV. Bitter wax sounding voice, outrageous.
Yeah, it is.
James, it's been wonderful touching base with your good self. Two final questions. Have you had a reasonably interesting bitter waxy interview with us on the piece today? Has it been okay for you?
It's been great, yeah. Thank you very much.
So can we look forward to connecting with you again in the not-too-distant future?
You can indeed. I love the word future. It tastes of, what does it taste of? It tastes of a nice fruity, not an apricot, I was going to say apricot there. Peach, that's it. That's the one I was thinking of, peach. You gotta go and get angry at all of my honesty. You know I try, but I don't do too well with apologies. Hope I don't run out of time, cause someone call a referee. Cause I just need one more shot, have forgiveness. I know you know that I made those mistakes maybe once or twice. And by once or twice, I mean maybe a couple of hundred times. So let me redeem or redeem on myself tonight. Cause I just need one more shot, second chance. Is it too late now to say sorry? Cause I'm missing more than just your body. Single piece of the blame if you want me to. But you know that there is no innocent one in this game for two. I go, and then you go out and spill the truth. Can we both say the words and forget this? Yeah. Is it too late now to say sorry? Cause I'm missing more than just your body. Oh, is it too late?
And that, of course, was Mr. Sugar Sandwich. Oh, no, Justin Bieber. Sorry. And what did we make of that? Sue Royce. Welcome to the programme, by the way, Midweek Drive Morning Edition, whilst we broadcast live on Lincoln's first community radio station, whilst at the same time being in a field in Harrogate.
Yes. Yes, you know, we were very clever like that. I have to say, my undergraduate degrees in linguistics, I have never, ever heard of this condition before. No. And I'm actually quite fascinated by it. It's extraordinary. I did think that you being described as wax. Well, how do you know what wax tastes like?
It's all those candles back at Madonna again. It's terrible. Katie, thoughts on the synesthesia?
Never thought you would be able to taste music or... didn't think rock would taste like pizza whatsoever.
No, I mean, I love the idea of it. The idea in itself is fantastic.
Didn't seem to know what country music tastes like at all, actually, Jess. I was very sad about that. But
obviously doesn't have a theme to go with the genre.
And clearly there were certain artists that I was tempted to actually say, so what do they taste like then? But I thought, no, he'll just tell me to take that.
Success, we've had good times, but remember this, being on this path of life for so long, we have walked 1,000 miles, sometimes strolled easy, but still, there's a road going down the other side of this field. Never forget where you're coming from. Never pretend that it's all real. Someday, soon this will all be someone else's dream. This will be someone else's dream. Disappointment for so long. Feel each day we've come too far. Yet each day seems to make much more. Sure, it's good to be here. I understand the meaning, never can explain this feeling now. And it feels so unreal. And now I see the hand. Reminds me of the stand that I made. The fact of reality.
Never
forget where you're coming from.
Never
pretend that it's all real.
Someday,
soon this will all be someone else's dream. This will be someone else's dream.
We're still so young, and we hope for more. remember this. I'm not invincible. I'm not invincible.
We're not invincible.
We're only people.
Ooh.
We're only people.
Recent research reveals that 84% of UK parents have purchased baby pouch convenience foods that feature spouted packaging for their children may well be impacting negatively upon children's long-term development with respect to over 1 million children under 5 in the UK suffering from dental decay, and around one-third would actually benefit from orthodontic treatment. Now, to address some of the findings of this particular study, we're delighted to welcome a true dynamic duo. First of all, the legendary Chief Executive Officer of the Oral Health Foundation and Chair of the Platform for Better Oral Health in Europe, that would be Dr. Nigel Carter. Good morning, Nigel.
Good morning.
And the equally wonderful paediatric speech and language therapist, Emma Ahern. Good morning, Emma.
Good morning.
Emma, if we can come to you, because clearly in terms of development, I recall a number of years ago, people said, don't give your babies dummies to suck, because that's going to impact on their teeth. It's not going to be good from that point of view. Is this in a similar field in terms of actually somehow it doesn't actually help the development of the jaw?
Yeah, exactly. So around 6 months of age and onwards, we start to see, changes in the structure of babies' mouths. And I'm sure Dr. Nigel will support me on this. We're looking at structure of the teeth, the arch of the palate, and excessive sucking on dummies and digits, but also from spouts can affect the development of how these structures change.
And clearly, Nigel, turning to your good self, is it rather like kind of a pressing a mould constantly on clay or various other factors that you're changing the shape of the jaw and the structure simply by, as I say, constantly sort of pushing things in, and obviously spouts will work on that basis as well?
Yeah, it's slightly different from the sort of thumb-sucking thing where you're actually pushing the teeth out. With a spout, and this applies to the hard spouts on some of the training cups that are around, what you're doing is actually sucking, and when you suck against that hard spout, you compress the upper jaw and you stop it developing properly. As a result, it's smaller than it should be, leading to there being not enough room for the teeth later on, and a higher need for orthodontic treatment as a result of that. Research in the area is obviously very difficult, because you can't take one group of babies and feed them one way and one group of babies and feed them the other. But logic says, and we've seen videos of the way that the tongue actually thrusts against the palate when you're sucking from a spout as opposed to normally, that actually show that this is the effect, and you do get this compression on the upper jaw.
The importance of the tongue, the teeth, the tip of the tongue and so on, and the enunciation and pronunciation of language is clearly, Emma, your specialisation.
Yeah.
Is this, again, something where in order to get the whole instrument, which ultimately is our vocal aspect, working perfectly or to maximum effectiveness, these things need to be looked at?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I really like the way that you use the analogy of an instrument. And when you think about it, that is essentially what the mouth is. You've got all these different structures, like you said, the teeth, you've got the jaw, the lips, the teeth, and all of those, restrict and kind of manipulate the airflow, and then that's what produces sound when we speak. So obviously, if you're promoting good and desirable development of these structures, then you are going to essentially promote clearer speech for the future.
Which can only be of benefit to all, really, because it'll help our communication and other factors. And after all, telepathy isn't quite as effectively developed as it might be, but that's another line entirely. Nigel, returning to your good self, clearly parents always want to do what's best for their children, but at the same time, you're offsetting that in terms of cost benefits with the notion of convenience and so on. So what advice would you actually give to parents who are actually listening to this, to actually, you know, if they have been purchasing spouted convenience baby meals, etc., what's the best way forward?
Well, there are alternatives available that are non-spouted, and I think what we would really say is, you know, look those out. From the oral health point of view as well, it's very important to look at the nutritional value and also start to look for food that isn't just pureed. Pureeing releases all sorts of natural sugars, takes away a lot of the nutritional value of the food. So if we can look for food with chunks in, and probably start with vegetables rather than fruit. Fruit, and particularly when it's pureed, it releases a lot of fructose, and this is not only bad for the teeth in terms of potentially causing decay, but actually isn't good for the rest of our body as well. And in later life, with the smoothies and so on that we're having these days, can lead to fatty liver disease by the release of the fructose. So, we really do want to look at healthier alternatives. Start to wean kids onto vegetables rather than onto fruit-based things, and they'll set up a healthier diet for life.
Which is clearly beneficial to all. Now, Kidilicious, a company, of course, who commissioned this particular research in light of their newly launched Little Bistro Meals for Babies and so on. Again, in terms of that, and you mentioned the importance of sugar, is it also important that the nutritional elements are very much seen as being at the forefront of this whole aspect?
Yes, I think there's a lot of evidence around that, mums weren't aware of the potential problems of spouts, and they assume that the nutritional value of the foods in baby foods is good. Actually start to look at the labels, look for those hidden sugars and free sugars, the amount of sugar that's in there, try educating our babies to want a sugar-full diet is going to lead to all sorts of problems with obesity and diabetes later on.
Absolutely.
So, let's get them eating healthy from the word go. Start to look at those labels and pick something that is a more balanced nutrition.
So with the classic line that sugar is the new nicotine often springs to mind, really, which we've frequently sort of gone back to. And you wouldn't necessarily want your babies to actually be chewing on nicotine to start off their lives for the whole sort of sequence. So let's move on from that. How can people find out further information, Emma? I mean, what's the best place to go to find out further information about this?
Yeah, absolutely. Just go straight to the website. If you go to kiddylicious.com and /littlebistro, you can find out more information directly there.
I think we've certainly sort of addressed the whole notion in terms of what parents should consider when choosing convenience foods. Look at the label, check the sort of aspects that's actually there. Anything else, Nigel, you'd like to add that needs to be basically just flagged up today?
I think it's basically, it is all around looking at labels. It's around the sugar content. Look for the hidden sugars, the hidden O's is in there. Anything usually ending in O's is a sugar. And of course, it's from the dental point of view, it's the sugar in the mouth in combination with the bacteria and plaque that actually then starts to cause acid. Another thing with the spouts, interestingly, of course, is that if you as opposed to eating a meal with a spoon, if you're eating it with a spout, the food tends to pull behind the teeth, and that's going to cause greater problems as well. So another reason for going for a healthier option, look at something that's going to end up in a bowl. Yes, it can be convenient, it can be heated in the microwave, but look at something that's going to end up in a bowl and start to actually train your children to eat rather than just sort of suck on mush.
I think that's the phrase of the day, really. Don't suck on mush, which is perfect. We might use that as a strapline. Dr. Nigel Carter, Chief Executive Officer of the Oral Health Foundation and Chair of the Platform for Better Oral Health in Europe, and Emma Hearn, Paediatric Speech and Language Therapist Extraordinaire. Many thanks indeed. We salute you. Take care now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I always wondered what it would be like to say Chief Executive Officer of the Oral Health Foundation and Chair of Platform for Better Oral Health in Europe. And now I know. I know exactly what it tastes like as well. Thanks to James Wannerton, the man who tastes sounds. Thanks to Dr. Nigel Carter, Dr. Emma Derbyshire. Thanks, of course, to Tessa Snott. Have you enjoyed your Midweek Drive Morning Edition?
I have. As always.
I've got a special shout out for Katie, for her father, who's been listening regularly to Siren ever since you started your work placement. Hopefully he'll stay listening to Siren, because we like our listeners to be for life, not just for work placement.
Yeah.
Any little shout out you'd like to give for your papa?
Oh, I just love you a lot. Thanks for the support.
Sue, we'll probably be in the midst of interviewing some cattle now at this particular moment in time, whilst also doing this show. But have you enjoyed your hour with the Midweek Drive?
I always do. I mean, we're just so multi-talented. We can do, you know, we can be in two places at once.
It's called bilateral bifurcation and bisymmetry. It's quite amazing. And of course, thanks, Tessa, to our joint special guest. Of course, that would be Emma Moore.
Yeah,
also joined
you,
us in the main part. And of course, classroom expert and pet and reptile expert Mark Smith. Strange how he wasn't really into eels, but still. Eels were actually okay, that's it. Midweek Drive will be back on Wednesday, pre-recorded with packages that we're putting together. Then we'll be back Midweek Drive Morning Editions, possibly slightly earlier for a wee while during the summer period. We're out of here. Can we all say bye-bye?
Bye!
I'm sorry, Sue, I completely forgot. This evening, 7 o'clock, on Siren, Thursday the 13th of July, Sound and Nick's Vision, Volume 30.
Oh, I can't wait. It's a corker.